Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Lord, we thank you for your presence. We bless your name. We extol your name. We worship you. Can you just say something beautiful to the Lord? Just say something wonderful. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' gracious name. All right, welcome, church. Turn to your left, right, and welcome somebody to church. Amen. Hallelujah to Jesus. All right. Did you welcome your neighbor? Then to your left, right again. Welcome somebody to church. Hallelujah. While we're dancing, as I entered, I saw some people sitting down. So, I'm not accusing anybody sitting down, but I hope you were sitting down because you were truly tired. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
We must learn to make sure people are disciplined in church. You know, some of you that think you are stubborn, your teachers make you scared in school. For the love of CGPA and GPA, CGPA and GPA, some of you become extremely humble. You are in a state of humility because that's not who you are. But when you come to church, somehow you feel like anything goes. And yes, we agree, in the church you can come the way you are. Doesn't mean that you should not maintain order. When people are standing in church, you should stand in church. When people are sitting in church, you should what? Sit in church. Because the person that is ministering at every particular time in church is representing Jesus to the people. The person leading the prayer, the person leading the songs, the person preaching, they represent Jesus for the people at every particular time. Are you listening? So don't have that character of maintaining steeze in church. Alright? Because truly, you would have not come to church. You were wasting your time. Whatever Jesus was doing in that meeting, it will pass you. It's just the truth. Because you have pride. Hallelujah to Jesus. So such characters should not happen in church. Alright? You know, in church, people still seem to have assumptions. By assumptions, I mean, because of the way we are being pampered and being pursued to serve God, you may think that the people doing it are stupid. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? The way we pursue people to come and serve God, you know, we disturb some of you to come to church and the rest. You may now feel like church is a place where anything can happen, anything goes. All right? So you may be assuming all of those things and acting wrongly. But to be very sincere, most of you here that work, you act very decent in your places of work. You know, I remember somebody was complaining that a pastor was speaking. He said he was speaking to some of a few of his members, and I think quite a number of them, like 2-3, said how that they were displeased because they didn't check on them while they were not in church. Now, listen, you were not in church. You didn't tell anybody why you were not in church. Alright? And now you are angry you were not checked upon. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Now, we would actually have checked upon you even though you did not tell us what was wrong with you. But most of you have places you work. How many of you ever missed your work any of the day? When you missed it, then you were angry your boss did not call you. And when you are angry your boss did not call you, you now decided to quit the job because they did not call you. Have you ever heard anybody that did that? Why? They give you money. But here you feel like you are not giving anything. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That's why you behave like that. Hallelujah. So a lot of people behave like that in church. In fact, they just become extremely foolish. Some are old. They still behave like that. How can you miss church? You didn't tell your HOD why you missed church. You're not angry that they did not come and check on you and you were 2 weeks sick. Probably the HOD would have actually checked. That's the right thing to do. But even though they didn't check, you would have messaged. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Because you are workers in the house of God too. You were designed, perfected to do the work of what? The ministry. Is that not what the Bible said? Meaning everybody seated there should be indulged in the work of the ministry according to the Bible. Nobody should just come to church, sit down. I mean, if you are here, you don't know how, except you are coming for the first time. Alright, that is not a problem. But you have been here. You don't even know how anything happens in this church. Ah. Jesus said you are a problem. You should be actively involved in the work of the ministry. Are you all listening? It happens. You know, last Tuesday, I saw something. I wanted to act. The Holy Spirit said, stop. Don't do nothing. Because you see, the Holy Spirit knows people more than I do. So, I'm sure he has his reasons for telling me not to do that. The normal me that I know, many years ago, if anybody would have done that, I would say, God, and never come back. That's what I would do. Alright? The person was operating his phone in church while the word of God was going on. Like that was not enough. The person walked out to pick a call and came back while the word was of God was being preached. Like that was not enough. I still maintained my steeze. I did not talk. I still was trying to flow. And if you had known me for a while, you distract the flow of the anointing when you move during the word session. Although I'm trying to build shock absorbers beyond those things so that it doesn't affect what I'm doing. And when he came the last time, I said, probably now he will behave well. The person still stood up, followed another path, the back, and went out, trying to even pick the cup before he ran out. The Holy Ghost just said, stop, stop, stop. I was saying, stop, don't talk. Because if I had spoken, that person would have never come to this church again. I remember another time we were worshiping here. We were deep in the spirit. The anointing everywhere, the glory of God everywhere. Enjoying the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And guess what? We saw a young man sitting by this side behind. On a Tuesday. What was he doing? He folded his hands, sat down. While people were kneeling and crying on the floor. Now, we are not forcing you to kneel down like us or lie down like us. But at least respect the presence of God. Then he was looking at everybody and smiling. And doing his head like this. You know what that meant? It seems these people are stupid. They don't even know what they are doing. They don't have sense. Of course, how can you look at all of us in worship, look at us and be doing like this? And when my eyes jam with him, because when I'm worshiping too, I have to open my eye and know what is happening. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That's how every worshiper should be. Don't close, only close your eye. Open your eye and see small, then continue. As my eye jam with him, boom, again, he still smile. And did like this. I say, what? Is it me? This guy is doing this table. Inside the deep worship, I say, hey. I say, stand up and get out and never come back. I'm not responsible for your soul. Let another person save your soul. Now, why did I do that? Because there must be order in the house of God. Are you all listening? Sometimes the unnecessary anger you have in church is demonic. Why would you have the anger? I don't know why I'm saying this, so. But over the years, by the training I've received from the Holy Spirit, I know I will never say something out of point. As I'm saying it now, I know I'm talking to somebody. Over the years, I've learned it. You know, one day I came here, I was talking about how that, just like that on his service, how that fathers, young men should be respectful to their fathers. Just a story. I don't know how that story just entered. And how that even though the fathers are misbehaving, there's a way to talk to your father, not talking to them with disrespect.
Right? I didn't know there was a young man who was about to even receive Jesus in the service who had a serious problem with his dad. A very serious problem that he has told the dad that he will not forgive him. He doesn't want to have anything to do with him. And he was about to receive Jesus in the service. I didn't even do an altar call for him to receive Jesus. He came to my office and received Jesus. And told me how that what I said really helped his heart. So I know. I, of course, I told him, I said, even me now, as you are telling me this, I'm surprised. Because I don't know what even spurred me to say that story. So I came here, I'm ready to teach, and I'm saying this is for somebody. In fact, you now looking at me is you. Probably somebody would have a problem today as I'm talking. It's you. Some of the unnecessary anger is demonic. Why would you be angry? If there's anybody to be angry in the house of God, it should be pastors. Because we are disrespected almost every minute. Taking for granted almost every minute. Yet you still see us come and preach the word of God. Then people who are sitting down to just do one or two things are angry. It's demonic. Are you listening? What did the Bible say? Is it Hebrews 13 or Hebrews 15 that says you should know how to behave yourself so that pastoring will be of advantage to you? What was that scripture again? 13:7. 13:17. Alright, let's see it. Can we see it in the Amplified rendition? I want everybody to read. One to go. Alright, let's read in one accord. One to read. Obey your spiritual leaders and submit to them, recognizing their authority over you. For they are keeping watch over your souls and continually guarding your spiritual warfare. As those who must give account of their stewardship of you. Let them do this with joy, not with grief and groans. For this will not be of benefit to who? Is it to the pastor? Is it to the pastor? It's to you. The video you saw where a man of God dropped the mic and left. The truth is that, logically speaking, he has all the rights to do that. Having won the church 1, 2, 3 times, before he was done with the third warning, another person's phone rang. And he dropped the mic and left. The truth is that he had all the right, logically speaking. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So I've done that. I was telling leaders, he said, think about Moses. Think about the children of Israel. People, it's not today people started becoming stupid. People have been stupid for a long time. Can you just think about it for a moment? The children of Israel, look at the miracles they saw. I concluded after reading that story that miracles don't change anybody. They only bear witness to the truth. In other words, if you see a miracle here, you'll be like, ah. Then when I'm done teaching, when I'm teaching, your heart will be open to listen to what I'm saying. I hope you get what I'm trying to say. So what changes people is not the miracle. In fact, if you forget that miracle and never allow the word of God to grow in your heart, you will still be the same, unchanged. This guy saw where Moses' rod was changed into a serpent and it swallowed up all of the magician serpent. They saw it. Gave God all the glory. That was not enough. They saw where the rivers were turned into blood. They saw it. Where angels turned water to blood. Nobody could drink. They saw it. They saw where lies were their opponent. Trying to deal with their opponent. They saw it. They saw all the acts of God. They saw plenty. In fact, they saw where Red Sea parted. The Bible said the Red Sea parted as if it was a dry ground. And else, it was the first bridge that ever existed. They saw the first bridge. God did it in a few seconds. They walked on it like it was a dry. They didn't go like this. Don't think that the children of Israel went like this. No! The water parted. It was dry ground. They were walking straight. Went to the other side. It closed back. They saw it with their two eyes. That was not enough. When they were going through the wilderness, when there's so much heat, God will make sure there's cloud by day. First AC, spiritual AC. They saw it. They were having chill air conditioner moving. That is why the Bible says for many years their cloth did not fade. It was still new. They saw it. By night, when there's cold, heat will come. Fire. God will just light fire for them. Literal fire. They'll be warm. Nobody needs to put firewood. See the pampering. See how they saw the power of God. Then suddenly, they were just moving and they were thirsty. And Moses just delayed in giving them water. Look at, they did not see river. They wanted to drink water. They didn't see river, but they wanted water. Who did they go to? They didn't go to God. Who did they go to? Moses. We want to drink water. Moses, give us some time. I'm talking to God about it. They say, you would have actually left us in Egypt. At least there we can eat food and drink water comfortably. Is it that they didn't see food? They saw food they've never seen before. They called it manna. It was not God that called it manna. He said, what kind of food? It was so nice. God said, it's so nice. Don't worry. Tomorrow I'll give you another one. Don't save it. They saved it. It's not today people started carrying food from wedding ceremonies and the rest. They saved it. It turned into worms. And the next day when they needed, God still gave them the food. Look at the pampering. Then only water to drink water. They turned to the same man who through him they saw all of these miracles and started murmuring at the man. Now, anybody here, tell me why Moses would not swear that they should die. You know the painful part of it? Moses was in money. Hebrews 11 said, by faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh. Meaning Moses left all the glory he had in the palace and said, I want to carry God's people out from, you know, Egypt through the wilderness. I hope you know that Moses deserved to see the promised land. It was because of the people he waited in the wilderness. And because of the people now, he did not see the promised land. When I saw that part of scripture, I remember I was talking to myself. I said, God is great. I was just shouting, God is great. I didn't want to question God. Because what the hell is this? He was angry. He was not angry at God. He was angry that the people shouted on him. Give us water. He said, don't worry, water. You would have allowed us to be in Egypt. At least we're seeing water to drink. And Moses said, what? You talk to me like that? God said, just speak to the rock. He just carried the rock. Wow. Water came out. God said, don't worry, we'll see. For what this thing you did, you will not enter the promised land. I'm sure Moses was like, but God, see what they did to me. See what the people did. See, didn't you hear what they said? Why did you not come to church? And there's one sister that spoke to me in a way I didn't like. Whether she was right or wrong, your reaction is foolish. See it from this story. If I've been coming to church all this time, but they don't like giving me responsibility. Agbaya. They don't like giving you responsibility. Is it not obvious that it's because you cannot do it? In fact, the proof that you cannot do it is the way you are complaining now. See how you are complaining. He cannot give me responsibility. I have been in this church. Nobody came behind. They gave, you see, because you spoke like that, you truly did not deserve it. Are you listening to me? So wake up. No, some unnecessary anger is from Satan. You're just angry. Why are you angry? Somebody spoke to me in a way. My HOD said I would have not talk like that. Why would they be monitoring my talk? Can't somebody just talk anything that comes to their mouth? Why we not come to church? I went to the church the other day. I was using my phone to jot. Ushers now say I should not touch my phone again. Which kind of church is that? Do they use phone to jot? Then suddenly the usher saw you, obviously you were answering in WhatsApp chat. You now rushed and went at your notepad. I said, no, I'm just... I'll never forget the day, one time I was in BSU, I entered the fellowship, one of the first time in Remedias, I was seated and I saw the person that led worship. I'll never forget, he was chatting on his BlackBerry phone. He was saying, yes sir, yes sir. Then I looked at his face. Yes sir, praise sir. He was not replying somebody sharp on WhatsApp. I just put my hand and said, hey, see deceiver, what are you saying yes sir for? He was not here, he was just saying, yes sir, praise sir. Praise sir, yes, what? And he led worship. Indiscipline. You know, Pastor Patrick one time was telling me how that he went somewhere for a meeting. And he saw one popular non-gospel artist. Guess what he was doing after leading a hot worship session? He was replying a lady. He was seated beside him, replying a lady. Telling her some nice things. He looked at the man out of anger. The man looked at him and now smiled. He just shook his head. He said, God forbid. Say, every worship I, every sincerity I had in that worship, I remove it. Are you all listening? Learn to behave well. There's one mighty man of God many years ago in Jos. He's the founder of Oasis of Love Church. I think his name somehow, one of his names, I'm not sure of all of the names, Mokunga. Philip Mokunga, right? Yes. I remember he had some cultures those days. I read about the stories. That he used to have cane. Yes. Did Jesus not carry cane? It's justifiable for him. He used to have cane. He would sit, when they are worshipping, he would go and stay at the door of church. And be monitoring who is not worshipping well. Then the worst is if you come late to church, you flog you before you enter. Then if you're in church, you won't dare to want to go out. Who won't dare? Because he's there with his cane like this, looking at everybody. He says, Ubab's call. Giant man. That one is protocol, one man protocol. He'll be looking. He wants to see who will go out. And if you're there to go out, yeah. They say the church became so disciplined that if you enter the atmosphere, you literally feel God. Because people are in order by force, not by default. They are. And anytime there is order, do you observe the Holy Spirit flow so easily? He flows so easy. Not when you are in a rush, you are in church, you are thinking of, this church, did they waste time? If they finish the service, wait till they go do. Say the truth. What are you going to do? Say, maybe I saw church there in the book of Acts. In Bible days, miracles, they happen. Angels, they enter church. These days, pastors, not just they church. They will now fire us and say they eat tight. Tight that you can't remember when you give tight. So if everybody's like you, which tight are we eating? But check the Bible in the book of Acts. See what happened there. They heard Jesus taught the disciples after he resurrected for how many days? You see, you don't read Bible. How many days? 40 days. He taught the disciples. 40. He was teaching them the word of God. Teaching them the word of God. How many of you can be in a conference for 40 days? The only thing you do is to eat and sleep. Wake up in the morning. They start again. 40 days. Hey! Peter was a strong man of God. 40 days teaching. Can we do 40 days teaching in this church? We'll teach you only in the night. You go back home and come back the next morning again. We'll teach again. Some people are just looking at you, people shouting, yes, sir. They're saying, now you go come now. Now you sabio. Hallelujah to Jesus. These are things they did. Paul the apostle taught the word. God for 3 days. Paul the apostle, he taught the word of God for 3 days. Somebody slept upstairs. He slept, fell down and died in the meeting. Are you together? I'm trying to say, what did Paul the apostle do? He took the man, breathed the bread of life, breathed the bread of life on him. The man came back to life. Instead of him to end the meeting and say, let nobody die, he took the man back to his seat and continued the teaching. Did you read this part of the Bible? Yes, it's in the Bible. That's why they were powerful people. You know, somebody like Philip was disappearing. If I catch you touching your phone, wallahi tallahi, I'll drive you from this church. Don't make me talk like a barrack boy. Hallelujah to Jesus. If I say some things, you say, now, pastor, talk this kind thing. You don't try us. If you try, you will see us. You think we don't have mind? You say, but Samuel is so soft. Okay. He don't talk to people. Okay now. You go collect. If he misbehave. This church must be a disciplined church. I'm talking, you are touching your phone. Who are you? Don't make us be angry. I didn't come with anger. It's you people that are making me talk. It's the Holy Spirit. And as the Holy Spirit is talking, you are now touching phone. Let's get into the word. Even if we have been talking the word for a while now. Amen. You know, I found out something many years ago. I found out you cannot please everybody. So, I only please myself. Because I don't have eternity to live. Alright? So, if you don't like me, no problem. I don't have eternity to live. I didn't come to this world for you. Do you understand? But the truth is that I must do what God wants me to do. Whether you are happy or whether you are fine or was everybody happy with Jesus? No. Even the church of his days were not happy with him. Did everybody like Jesus? No. The church of his days did not like him. Was Jesus always kind? No. Is he always good? Yes. So, Pastor Simon, how was Jesus not kind every time? He flogged people in the temple. That was not kindness. He said to Pharaoh, you are a fox. That was not kindness. But is he good? Yes. Alright? So, no, we are not trying to threaten you in any way, but we're just saying, let there be order in the house of God. You are important to God. Are you getting what I'm trying to say?
Yes, sir.
Let's see Romans 6. So, you see what the scripture said? It said, we will give account to God. Are you seeing it? It said, we'll give account to God on your souls. That is why we must do what we ought to do rightly. Can I even see this in the TPT rendition? The TPT. It said, obey your spiritual leaders. It said, and recognize their authority. For they keep watch over your soul without resting, since they will have to give an account to God for their work. What is our work? To keep watch over your souls. I said, how do you keep watch over my soul? I sleep. You don't even see when I sleep. I bath. You know, have you seen me bath before? Have you seen me? What we do, how we keep watch over your soul is that we have to study the word of God so deeply so that when you are done receiving everything in the world, we'll remove it on Sunday. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? Adjust your thinking on a Sunday. If we had midweek services, we can use that too to adjust your teaching. And that's not enough. What did Samuel tell the king or the people? He said, how can I do this great sin against God by not praying for the people? In other words, as a spiritual leader, it is sin against God when you don't what? Pray for the people. I was washing my car this morning and a word just dropped in my spirit. I said to myself, one of the blessedness and most sacred virtue of any human being, especially of a pastor, is that you pray for people that don't deserve to be prayed for. It is one of the most blessed virtues. I mean, you look at people who are behaving stupid. You can't help it. Your body is even weak while you are praying for them, but you have to pray. In fact, sometimes you are praying and crying. But you have to pray. Because it's your responsibility to what? Pray for them. They don't truly deserve it, but you have to pray for them. And that's how God works with us. Are we together? That's how. So we are teaching you this so that when you come to church, just behave well. Some of you don't know that the miracle you are looking for, if you can behave well in serving God, you'll get it. It's not by prayer. He says, seek first the kingdom of God. Then he said, every other good to be what? Added to you. The miracle you are looking for, if you can just behave well, you get it. I don't know if I shared this story here. I was traveling to Abuja one time. Now, that has happened two times. My first car that had accident. While we're going, there's this person that I didn't know how to drive properly that time. So I only drive within town. But if I'm traveling far, someone has to help me. So there was this brother that was helping me in church. But he had just become born again not too long. And he had this hairstyle that was dreads, kind of, you know, it was just like he plaited it downwards. And I'm not judgmental. If not, he would have not driven me. He would have not been driving me. Amen? So I liked him. He was a very nice person. And since he knew how to drive, I wanted him to be driving me. So as we were going, I observed that they stop us almost 5 times. And anytime they stop us, they'll ask what he's doing, not me. So when they are asking him a question, he'll just say, I did my pastor. When he winds down, they will not say, we should go. They will not tell me sorry. So when we passed the last checkpoint and entered Abuja, I think one checkpoint inside Abuja, there was trouble. So they stopped him. He dodged the first one and continued moving. He said, Pastor, this is how we dodge them. Then the second one, he could not dodge them. They said, what do you do? They said, ask him, what do you do? What do you do? And one of them said, give me your phone. He now said, I cannot give you. So I had to come out and say, why will you tell somebody to give you? So they asked me, I said, I'm a pastor. And somehow they allowed us to go. And it has happened like 2 times. So one day, I was praying. The Lord said, go and tell him to cut his hair. Tell him to cut his hair. I didn't know how to tell him because I didn't want him to run away from me. So I prayed about it, and I came for his service. So somehow I did not see him in the service. I asked, where is this brother? And they showed me him. He was in the media. He had already cut his hair. And I asked him after service, I said, come, why did you cut your hair? I wanted to know. He said he prayed. And he felt like the Holy Spirit is saying he should go and cut his hair. I said, you heard the Holy Spirit say he should cut your hair? He said, yes. Because I'd heard him say that there's nothing in this world that will make him cut his hair. He lies the hair. I said, no, God lies the hair too. I had to encourage him so that he become a Christian. And he said the Holy Spirit told him to cut the hair. Imagine we did not pray. Will that happen? It will not happen. What is the lesson I want you to learn here? As they cut the hair, if we are traveling now, nobody stops us. He looks responsible. What am I saying? If you just live the way God wants you to live, you will not have problems in this life. Are you people listening to me? They will trust somebody that has a nice haircut than you that have that kind of haircut. They will suspect you more that have that kind of haircut than somebody that has a normal haircut. Say, no, I don't. Nigeria is so backward. They will make you more backward on the road if you have that kind of haircut. Do you guys get what I'm trying to explain to you? Some things, they are permissible, but they are not what? Necessary. Listen, we're not trying to condemn. Just like I was somewhere teaching, and someone asked me a question. He said, Pastor, is earring a sin? I said, how can earring be a sin? So I laughed. I said, women wear earrings, so it's not a sin. He said, no, for men, is it a sin? And I turned the scripture and showed him, all things are what? Permissible. But not all things are what? Necessary. So and I asked them a question in the church. I said, imagine I enter the church with 2 earrings. No, not even 2, 1. And while I'm teaching, it's shining. And you are feeling me. Why wouldn't you feel me? You are rather having problem with me for putting on earrings. Some will say, if I ever come to this church again, make I die. In fact, some will be trying to fake a call. When they leave, you say, Father, thank you for delivering me. You know why I don't have a problem? Some of them even wear it too. In fact, the one wearing it will look at me and say, why pastor would they wear? They'll say, you, why they wear? I'll not be pastor. But why pastor when they were? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Then they will distract anything Jesus was saying in that service because he will not be able to flow. Are you listening to me? As I'm teaching, people will be questioning my teaching. In fact, there's a way I will teach, they'll say it's permitting sin. We can see the evidence. It will obstruct a lot of things. Do you guys get what I'm trying to explain to you? So kind of battles are not necessary. I always ask myself, why do I have to do the thing that causes problem? It's not necessary. That's why sometimes when I see pastors fighting, people telling them they are plaiting their hair, they are doing, I used to wonder, that's not a necessity. Are you listening to me? It's not necessary. And I'm not in any way condemning anybody. Listen to me. I'm just teaching you wisdom. Now, let me ask you a question. If, for instance, you smoke and you are seated in this church now, how do I try to cover it and make you believe that smoking is nice? Huh? You are seated in church, you love Jesus, but you like to smoke. Because you come to church does not mean I should look for a way to make sure smoking looks nice to you. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Are you listening to me? I shouldn't try to make you feel like that. Because it's not truly nice to you. A lot of battles you will not fight if you do what God wants you to do. If you keep two men now in this place, people, when they look at them, they will judge them by how they look, firstly. Even though the one dressed wrongly has even a better potential than the one not dressed wrongly. Because people are not a function of how they look on the physical. They are a function of how they think on the inside. Just that, a lot of times, your dressing reflects your mindset. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? Your dressing actually reflects your what? Mindset. But people firstly will judge from the outer, isn't it? It's the truth. Are you all listening? And that's why Paul said, all things are permissible. He said, but we Christians, we do only what is what? Necessary. I was teaching somewhere again. Funny, but I just feel like saying it. A young man met me. He said, sir, in a midnight meeting, that's all night meeting. He said, what do you think about we trying to collect money that was collected from us before by the white guys? That's what he asked. So I said, I don't understand what you're trying to say. He said, I mean that money that we lost from our forefathers, what do you think about collecting it back? Because we are fighting for what is rightfully ours. I said, can you break it down a little bit? I don't get you at all. Then he said, sir, I mean, this popular online, this thing that happens. Some people call it, he says, some people call it Yahoo. So I now smiled. I say, you, what do you call it? He said, retrieving what was lost. That's somebody that wants to repent, and he's not sounding like he wants to repent. So, I said to him, who lost it? He said, our forefathers. I said, is your father part of the people that lost it? They said, no, Africans. They stole from Africans. Africans are trying to, we are one. Then, jokingly, I said to him, you know your father's money did not lose to these people, right? Right now, you are being a thief. So he looked at me and said, sir, I just came to repent. I want to repent. I said, so you know you want to repent. Why are you asking me that kind of question? He wanted my phone number so that I'll follow him up and the rest. And I said, be hard working. That's what I told him. Be hard working. Tell somebody be hard working. Hallelujah to Jesus. Be very hardworking. Don't be a thief. Do you know that people are earning more than Yahoo boys in this town who are being hardworking? You don't know? As I'm talking, some of you are wondering, is it true, Pastor? Is it true? It's very true. Is Elon Musk a Yahoo boy? Huh? Did he teach anybody? Is this normal fees we learned in school and muscle that made that guy his worth now is $456 billion? My God. Did you hear what I just said? Think about it for a moment. How much is $1? To Naira. This man is not a billionaire in Naira. He's a billionaire in one of the highest currency in the whole world. Dollars. What is the secret? Hard work. Towards what? Sciences. Shiki now. This normal physics and chemistry we learned in school is what is making the man. Do you believe that that thing can make you a billionaire? Huh? It can. He beat all the Yahoo people that have done Yahoo plus plus in this world. If they join all of them together, their money is not equivalent to a man that had his money from hard work. Is that not a shame? And you too can be like that. You can learn. Somebody, I remember one time I was teaching somewhere, and somebody said, "Sir, you encourage us to get into ICT." He now asked me, he said, "I wanted to learn programming, but it was very difficult." And I said, "I cannot learn it." I said, "So, you wanted to learn it?" And they told you it was very difficult. He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Sir, I tried it. It was too difficult." I said, "Okay. Because it was very difficult, you said you will not learn it." He said, "Yes, sir." And I said to him, "The people that wrote this material for you, do they have two heads?" He said, "No." I said, "Do they have one head?" He said, "Yes." "Did God give them two medulla oblongata?" He said, "No." "How many do they have?" He said, "One." "What of their hippocampus?" "What is hippocampus?" You know hippocampus? What's that, Oche? You see, in this church, you can't be replying me, "Yes, yes, sir, anyhow." Come. He said he was answering to the word of God. Alright. Hippocampus is that part of your brain that entails you, gives you the ability to remember things. Amen? So I said to him that you have one like everybody and you can learn it. And I remember a statement I heard many years ago that the dullest brain is better than the what? Best computer. Have you seen people they call computer brain? You are just extremely good in math. "Hey, this guy has a computer brain, oh." So sometimes I'm amazed when they say somebody's computer, because brain gave birth to what? Computer. And I always say that the computer vision is so that every machine in this world behaves like a human being. They are learning all of their attributes from human being. And the part of computer science that they want to use to achieve this the most is AI, artificial intelligence. That's why when you get to a door, some of them open. Like this is our door now, who activate it. When you come close, it will just sense you. That's a response to stimulus. It's a characteristic of a human being, isn't it? It will open by itself, you enter. Alright? You check your phone, sometimes they have the ability to remind you of things you have searched before. Isn't it? Is that not in human beings? But now your phones can tell you. You just write B. If you are somebody that always calls somebody baby, as you say B, don't write baby. And you just, no need to type. You just hit it. It will flow. You understand what I'm trying to say? So they will just help you to remember. For instance, if I say Bran, some of you will remember the first person in your heart that the name starts with B. Isn't it? So all of these things, they are learning from human beings to implement in machines. That is why you should understand that you are the most intelligent being on the earth. Outside God, even angels are not as intelligent as you. Are you listening to me? So you can be the best in anything you do. Learn things. When they say it's hard, be excited that it's hard. Like it that it's hard. Are you listening to me? If it's not hard, then it's not even worth it. Learn it when they say it's hard. That's why when people come around me and say mass is hard, I always used to tell them mass is not hard. You know why mass was hard for some of us? We had wrong teachers who made us scared of mass. You know, when you grow up in secondary school, your teachers, we hardly have lovely mass teachers, isn't it? Most of the mass teachers don't look lovely. They don't sound lovely. They sound scary. And that's why most people hate mathematics. Because they are too serious. They are ready to beat you up. And when you make mistakes, they will tell you how dull you are. But there was a math teacher I used to have in secondary school, I'll never forget. He always smiled in GS1. He made us to like math. What's that number line? One of the topics he taught us as a copper. Very nice man. He will be happy every time. I've never seen such a master teacher in my life. He made a lot of people interested in mathematics. Then he said something many years ago, I'll never forget. He said, maths, the reason why people fail maths is because they have wrong orientation about mathematics. You were told it was hard, so you believe it's hard. Then I'll never forget that statement he made that scattered the class. He said, maths is the most simplest subject in the whole world. Everybody said, we say, how? He said, you just know the formula, and that's all. Is it true? What if you don't answer this thing with one mind? Is it true? And they don't believe it. You don't believe it's true. It's true. You know, some people say, they say, find S. Now we're finished school. Where's the S? When they say find S, they are trying to teach you how to tax your brain. It's not like you should look for it. Now, some of you now, if you didn't find S very well in school, now you will not know how to find S outside school. But people that truly knew how to find S, when they are sitting in an environment, ideas come for opportunities. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? They taught you how to what? Find S. You learned it when you came in time. Now you can find S anywhere you are. Now that Tinubu is making it hard, find S. Do you know some people are finding S now in this regime? And they're becoming millionaires. During COVID, we were crying. Some people were building houses, mansions. Because they find S. Romans 6:12. You know, I asked one of my medical friends one time. I said, why do they say you must pass mass? He said, because we have to tax our brain. I said, wow. It's true. Now, let's read from verse 10. We'll soon be done. Are you happy?
Yes, sir.
Are you sad?
No, sir.
Want to read? Next part of scripture. Now, let's see this in the NLT's rendition. Want to go? It says, you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin. Why? Because of what he had said in verse 10. Maybe we see verse 10 again. It said, he died once and for all toward death. Okay, let's read in the NLT. When he died once to break the power of sin. Once to what? Break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. Alright? So if you die to sin, you can't live in sin again. You only live for the glory of God. And that's why the Bible said, because of what he had done, he did it for us. And because he did it for us, then you have to allow the effect of what he has done to really work on yourself. Alright? Because he did it not for himself, he did it for us. He didn't die for himself, he died for us, isn't it? Now, next part of scripture, the Bible says, by faith now, you should also consider yourselves to be what? Dead to the power of sin. Because in his death, he broke the power of sin. And the Bible says, we died together with him, isn't it? So, the Bible says, consider yourself to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through what? Christ Jesus. Say, I'm dead to the power of sin. Say it like you mean it. Say, I'm dead to the power of sin. And I'm alive to God through Christ Jesus. And that's why the Bible says, if anybody be in Christ, is a what? New creation. It said, all things are gone. All things are gone. Hallelujah to Jesus. Tell somebody the old is gone, the old is gone, the old is gone, the old is gone. Next part of scripture. Now, on the strength of what he has said through 1 to 11, he said, do not let sin control the way you live. Wow. Hallelujah. He said, do not let sin control the way you live. Amen. Are you here? Don't let sin control the way you live. He said, do not give in to sinful desires. Let's see it in the Amplifier Edition. Relate with NKJV. Now, read the Amplifier. Want to go. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts and passion. Don't allow it. Pastor, I'm the one that will not allow. Yes. God told you that you are dead to sin and alive unto God, giving him glory by the way you live. In 11, what did he say? Consider yourself to be what? Dead to sin. And alive to God through Christ Jesus. Then he now places the responsibility on you. Everything is about your mindset now. The victory, the fight is in your mind. Consider yourself. So what do you do? I consider myself in the name of Jesus that I'm dead to sin. The power of sin is broken over my life. I'm alive to God unto righteousness. Hallelujah. Then you begin to fight thoughts that are negating this thing you are saying now. I'm dead to sin. I'm dead to sin. I'm dead to sin. Satan will suggest you reply, I'm dead to sin. I'm dead to sin. That's how you win. It's written all over 2 Corinthians 5, right? 5 verse 4, isn't it? Let's see it briefly before I come back here. Relate it like this for me there. Is it 2 Corinthians 5:4? Or 10:4? Alright, 10:4. That's how you fight. Is it for the weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal. I'm reading NKJV, but they are mighty through God to pulling down what? Stronghold. Next part of scripture. It then says what? Casting down argument and every high thing that exalt itself against the... So there are things that want to exalt themselves against the knowledge of God in your heart. When you say, I have control over myself, I can't live above sin, Satan will say it's a lie. He will start trying to fight you in your mind. The battlefield is your mind. Some of you have read that book by Joyce Meyer, The Battlefield of the Mind. He's fighting you, telling you, no, you are addicted. You are addicted. He said, no. Jesus broke the power of sin and gave me the victory. Now I'm walking in victory. Remember, God said, do not let sin reign on your mortal body. Meaning you must tell sin, get back. How do you fight it? By the knowledge of God. Because Satan is trying to fight that knowledge in your heart. The seed of God's word. Remember, Matthew 13. When some seed fell on the hearts of people, the different ground, the hearts of people, the seed of people's heart, what did the devil do? He created situations around the seed of God's word in their heart so that they can what? Forget the word of God. That's what he likes to do. He knows that as long as the word of God is in your spirit, you'll be victorious. Because the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his, so is he. He doesn't want the word of God to be planted in your heart. Listen. Listen carefully. The devil has only come to steal, kill, and destroy. Nothing more than this. He wants you to live a miserable life and end up as a nonentity. Not only in this life. In the realm of the spirit, hell is not a place created for believers. Hell was never a place created for human beings. It is a place created for Satan and his cohorts. Not for human beings. The reason why Satan is fighting like a roaring lion, the Bible said, is because he wants a lot of people to end up with him there. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? It's more like a dustbin to throw anything that is trash. And Satan was trash. You people get what I'm trying to say? Now somebody may ask, why is he still having the liberty to cajole people on the edge? Why does he still have? Because you see, remember, even in the Bible, Jesus encountered Satan. I mean, in a man's body, there were many demons. What did the Bible say? They shouted in one accord and said, Master, it's not yet time. Man, there's a time where they can be destroyed forever. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? It's not like they have not been destroyed. Jesus destroyed him on the cross. But they still have liberty to move around on the earth. Not in heaven, on the earth. Why? Because the earth is not yet in its perfect state. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? And secondly, because in the parousia, meaning the end of everything, there's what we call the lake of fire. The lake of fire. The lake of fire is not literal. It's more like an allegory. Now, see Revelation 1 and verse 1. In the Amplified rendition, we come back here, we go back there. Revelation 1:1 in the Amplified rendition, just the Amplified. I want everybody to read. Want to go? The things which must soon take place in their world. And he sent and what? By his what? He sent and what? Communicated it. By his what? Divine angel to his what? Born servant who? John. Next part of scripture. Who testified and gave supporting evidence to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to what? Everything that he saw in his world, visions. They were seen where? In visions. And they were testified through the ministry of what? Angels. Give me the Amplified Classic in verse 1 again. The Amplified Classic in verse 1. And he sent and communicated it through his angel, messenger, to his born servant John. Now, why we said they are allegories? Because angels don't understand things literally. They come as messengers to present whatever God is saying to us through them. And if they are coming to present it, since the Bible has said that even angels desire to see into the things of God, understand the mysteries of God in 1 Peter 1, that simply means they don't understand the mystery of God. They can be used to communicate these things in allegories, in types and shadows, but they don't know the truth of it. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? And that's why if you look at the book of Revelation, it's deep, but try to understand me. If you look at the book of Revelation, you will see Monera. You will see God being said he has seven eyes. You will see strange things. It doesn't mean that that's literally God. So that you don't go back to your houses and draw a being with seven eyes and think that is God. No. These are things to just communicate these realities in the realm of the spirit for you. More like allegories or types and shadows. Are we together? Just for instance, in the Old Testament, they say Jesus is the lamb that takes away the sin of the world. Is Jesus a lamb? He's not a lamb. But they have to use a lamb to describe Jesus. Are we together? Very important. So when they say lake of fire in the book of Revelation, they are not telling you it's a literal fire. No. Are we together? Physical fire? No, of course. Is it something God created from the beginning to destroy people? No. Now, lake of fire, I did a writing on it many years ago. I have not published it because I was being scared. Critics and the rest. It's not something God from the beginning said, I'm going to create blah, blah, blah. No. Lake of fire is more like, are you here? Something that of course will be in existence at the end. Alright? So that everything in hell can be casted into it. Can be thrown into it. So that it stops the existence of everything that is not of God. Listen carefully. If you read the book of Revelation, they even told you that hell was casted into what? The lake of fire. Isn't it? And even death was casted into what? The lake of fire. Anything that is not of God will stop existing when it gets into the lake of fire. It's more like God creating a possibility to end everything that is not of Him so that they don't even exist again. That's why we tell people that you cannot exist forever. Even in a wrong location. You know, some people will say, where do you spend eternity? You can't spend eternity in the wrong location. You can only spend eternity in the kingdom of light. I'll give you another instance. Remember Adam. The Bible said when he ate from the wrong tree, God said, guard the way to the tree of life so that Adam eats, so that Adam will not eat from it and live forever. In other words, God is saying that it is possible for Adam to live forever if he eats from the tree of what? Life. But I don't want Adam in that state to live forever. So guard the way to the tree of life. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Now, does God have a problem with us living forever? John 3:16, for God so what? That he gave his only what? That whosoever believe in him will not what? But have what? Meaning God does not have a problem with people living for what? Ever. But God has a problem with somebody living in a wrong state of being forever. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. So I was saying something that Satan wants us totally destroyed. He creates situations in our life that will get us destroyed. If not, imagine somebody addicted to what is killing him. Is that not funny? That you are addicted to what is what? Killing you. Somebody addicted to, let's say, smoking. Now, smoking kills you, yet you are addicted to it. Now, you actually want to leave it, but you cannot leave it. Is that not obviously Satan? Does it mean anything good for you? No, he just wants you to just destroy yourself. Now, take, for instance, the people into fraud and the rest, all these fraudsters. Why is he doing these things? So that you get into it, when you start all of this Yahoo stuff, according to what I heard, somebody was doing a confession in my house, somebody that repented. They start normally. Then if they want to get more money, they have to involve the supernatural. Of course, in the kingdom of darkness, are we together? Then he said, if you want to even continue and have more money, you must go beyond the blood of goats, blood of fowl, to the blood of human being. Now the point comes, they will demand the head of somebody even close to you. I said, really? He said, yes. He said, there's Yahoo. There's Yahoo Plus. Then he said, there's Yahoo Plus Plus. Now, if you do all of these things, take for instance, God forbid, you give your relative for money. Automatically, you can never have peace. Automatically, you have condemned yourself. Are you listening to me? Automatically, you have tagged yourself destroyed. And a lot of times, every time they said, when you are ready to change and death want to change, there's consequence. They either get mad or they die. At the end of everything, what happens to your soul? It is what? Destroyed. Satan is happy. You people get what I'm trying to say. He doesn't mean well for people. He doesn't mean well for anybody. He just wants you destroyed. He wants your being totally destroyed. God said man. And Satan inspires a man to like him. Sorry. Do you know what I just said? God said man and woman. And Satan inspires a man to like a man. Why? Everything that God says, he wants it what? Opposite. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Does it make any sense logically why a man should like a man? One single sense in this world. Not one sense. Why one man? Now, if you look at most of these people that are liking men or are following men, if you check there, especially Nigerians, it's contract. I heard it from a reliable source. It's contract. If not, why will a Nigerian like a man? A man like a man. If other countries can do it, not Nigerians. They say some of them, they give them millions and they tell them to represent this order. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? They say, we want you to be a cross dresser. Take 30 million. Start dressing like a woman. I heard the stories. Then you see somebody you used to know. For instance, his name is Samson. Samson now is doing like this. You talk everything, he doesn't answer you because he has 30 million in his account. Why? They want to inspire young people to think that this thing they are doing up there is a what? Possibility. Before you know, as young people are watching, young men are watching, they are getting inspired. The demons are what? Entering. You know, last night I was asking myself a question. I said, these people that manage movies, do they truly know what they are doing? Some of them, do they truly know what they are doing? Or they are just doing it? I don't think all of them know what they are doing. Because you watch a movie now, even Nollywood, if you're on YouTube or Facebook sometime, you will see they are advertising how that the mother of a lady is liking the boyfriend of the lady. So you'll be asking yourself, this one now, what are they teaching? That I am liking you as a lady, but your mother is liking me. Okay, what is the gain of the movie? The one who watch him says, "Hi, now, wow, the mother man wicked, though." That is not it. They've stirred a possibility in your heart. Even as a mother. Now you're going to give birth to a child. Your child will bring one fine boy to the house. And you'll be wondering if this boy should be shared. Now you people get what I'm trying. You don't get what I'm trying to explain to you, right? They are stirring possibilities. They'll do another movie where a young man will have five girlfriends. And the movie, at the end of it, he will now marry one. What is the moral lesson of the movie? Nothing. What have they said in the young man's heart? It's possible to be growing up and have five ladies and finally choose one. In fact, there's one movie I watched. I thought it was making sense. At the end of everything, the man made the lady pregnant. She left with the baby. He now married the love of his life. They now brought the baby to their house, but that other one went. I said, see madness. You made somebody pregnant, collected the baby to now stay with the love of your life. Do you observe that it's happening now? There are ladies that will drag their husband, even if he made another person pregnant. They'll say, it's my husband. It's her that forced him. Now, how use my husband? So they are sharing possibilities in the heart of people. That's why sometimes when you come to church, when we see God's people, we try to advise you to look towards the right direction. You are the standard of life. The Bible says you are the light of the world. Don't allow these people control you. Don't allow them. By the way they talk, some of you look, who do you want to be like? Uche Montana, God, I like that girl. That's a Christian talking. I like that girl. I wish I could just be like, oh, my baby. That's a Christian talking. So who's your role model? Hey, Beyonce, Rihanna, baby. Rihanna, oh my Rihanna. If it's Rihanna, they kill me. That's a Christian lady talking. Who's going to give birth to another lady tomorrow? Imagine your mother likes Rihanna. You are growing up, watch your mother vibe to Rihanna's song. Your own are finished. One time I went, old story, it was in the past and she has totally changed. I went to my sister's house one evening, many years ago. As I entered, she was watching Big Brother Niger. As she was watching, I saw her little baby, the first daughter, watching together with her. So I sat down. They brought everything. I said, no, I don't want. I have a word for you. I said, call the ladies. I carried her. I said, watch. Watch what they are doing. Watch, eh? Learn. Are you seeing what that is? She was in her head. Make sure you learn these things, eh? Mommy will be proud of you. See, but Samuel, what kind of thing is this one? Now you're saying my daughter should learn. Ah, no, why would you say my daughter should learn? Said, you don't want your daughter to learn it. She said, no, Samuel, stop this thing now. I said, no, your daughter has to learn this thing. You like it, isn't it? I said, if you don't want your daughter to learn it, why are you enjoying it? Why are you watching it? She kept quiet for a moment. And I advised her. I said, there is no way your daughter will not one day go and apply for this thing. Because she had, you know, one of the ways I started listening to Pastor Chris, many people don't know. I was in the house one day. My dad plugged into the channel. I don't know what came upon him. He trains catkeys in the Catholic Church. In the military arm. He is a catkiss of catkiss. But that day he was watching the program. And he said, Kai, I like this pastor, man. This is the kind of church I should be going to. And I heard him make that little statement. So I was looking at the pastor very well. Which pastor did my father like this? That's how I started. My mother entered and said, see what you are saying in front of your son. She didn't know that a seed has been planted. When they left, I will wait every Thursday for that program. I will go and tune in and be watching. She now observed that I always like to watch the program. That's how I started. Before you know, I started browsing. Watching online. Imagine it was Fela was watching. I said, I like this man. Kai! Komole! Let me try to watch him. I said, I like this man too. Instead of preaching now, I would have been somewhere doing my leg like this for Nigerians. Some of these things we see up there are obviously wrong. Just that many people don't like truth. I told somebody, a young preacher, I said, if you are ready to preach, if you want to preach the truth of God's word, be ready not to be liked. You will not be liked. It's the truth. People don't like truth. People like people that will be licking their ear with lies. They don't like truth. I heard a complaint one time. They said to me that one or two people stopped church because they said they are not ready to stop sin. They said the way the pastor teaches, they are feeling that they will soon repent. So they are not ready to stop that sin. And what was the sin? They said they live with ladies in their house. That's what the neighbor said, who comes to church. So he said, when he met them, he said, Kai, the way your pastor did preach, I nearly repent. So I don't think I want to continue because I don't want this lady to leave this house. And you can imagine. That's why somebody will not come to church. Because he nearly repents. But if you are teaching lies, oh, God is okay with your sin. You say, hallelujah. I was on Facebook one time, I saw a pastor. He said, God does not give anybody a wife. A woman just commented, said, this is what I've been waiting to hear. He says, this is what I've been waiting to hear. Meaning for many years, she has been hearing God give wife, God give husband. So she has been waiting for her own personal preacher sent from God. She said, please, what was the name of his ministry? She asked in the comments, this is my pastor. The ones that are saying God give are not her pastor. That's what the Bible says in the last days, many will rise up with itchy ears. They want you to preach a certain thing. You know, some people wish I can say, Yahweh is okay. Bet Ninja is okay. It's from the Holy Spirit. They wish I can say things like, they'll be very happy. I'll become their pastor. They'll go and put me on their house. Big wallpaper. This is my pastor. You know, I heard that there are pastors that collect tithe from Yahweh and offering from Yahweh. In fact, they spray the pastors. As they spray it, they're like, oh, pastor, you are doing well. They're spraying the pastor. Somebody asked me one time, I said, pastor, what if I make 10 million from bets and I give church 5 million? I said, if we know it's from bets, we'll return your money. He said, hey, pastor, why? Maybe God help me make I win the bet. I say, it's not God. It's not God. The Bible says, he that suddenly wants to make money, he said, we will end in shambles. In other words, how do you just carry, make money, think, tax your brain. He said, no. Chelsea, 1-0. Arsenal go lose, 2-0. Mayu, lose all through the season. You know, all those things. No. Hey, don't take this. Hi. I don't mean those things. I'm just using it as an example. So they'll just give those kind of things. Yeah, now there are people that do things like that. You understand what I'm trying to say? And when when they win, they say it's God that gave them inspiration. Like someone preaching on campus many years ago, and when I was done preaching, somebody I used to know in Kaduna ran to me. He said he wants to receive Jesus. I said, but you know me in Kaduna, you did not. I didn't want to question the faith, but we know. Why are you receiving Jesus today? I said, I didn't even see you in the class. I said, when I saw you preaching, I had to bend my head. I was ashamed. I was shocked you are still preaching. He said, and I have a problem. You know why I want to receive Jesus? He wanted me to help him. What was the problem? He has bet his two session school fees. Not just session school fees, with house rent. So he's squatting. Different place. He will just look for somewhere, stay for 2 weeks, go to another place for 2 weeks. What caused it? Bet Niger. So he said, I should pray for him to repent, and I should understand he does not have school fees. So if I can help him in any way. That was not all. I met one. This one, he said, He has lost, at that time, he said, I've lost over 250,000, sir. I must get it back. I said, that's where the problem starts from. He said, I must get, Pastor, if I don't get my money, I promise myself that if I don't get my money, I will never stop this thing. And I said, you are not ready to stop. That's the bet football. When they started this thing, I said, who bets for football? P.Y., you can't bet for football. Not that some of us were not unbelievers. And I did cha-cha when I was growing up. Kantumensi, if you know Kaduna, we did cha-cha there very well. And if you don't, if you win, you can't leave till they win you back. You know, I'll be going to church when I repented. Even when I repented, I did it small before I fully repented. I'll be going to church and they say, ah, Papilo Alpha now. 500. I'll say, no. I'll say, Kai, but if I win this thing, I'll be able to buy down my jersey. I'll come back. I said, now once at the play. I said, no problem. We'll do when I win, I'm going, you know, they go now. Wait, play again now. And that play again, they are telling you to play again. They are not actually begging you to play. They are warning you, play again now. If you try to move, they'll drag you back. You're mad. You go play again. We did all of those things. In fact, in secondary school, we'll sit down like this, carry two stones, and be timing a particular spot, 1,000. We did it. There was nothing we didn't bet with. Especially with football. Then, when they started this bet, Nigeria, I told them, I said, who will go and set money that a club should win? They don't know football. I'm not encouraging that you should bet in other areas. I'm just saying bet in its entirety is wrong. Especially football bet. Brazil can collect 2-0 from Algeria. It will shock you. Did Argentina not suffer from Saudi? Is it Saudi Arabia? They beat their Messi. With Messi inside the distance. They ended up carrying the World Cup. Now, who would have believed that they would have carried World Cup after being beaten by him? That's something with football. So some of you doing football bets, I pity you. You will just be suffering. Are you here tonight? You know, this teaching today is diversified. We'll teach here, we'll cover here, we'll teach here, we'll cover there. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? We're covering a lot of places. When you think we're talking about this, then suddenly we enter this place and it's truly Super Sunday, isn't it? Let's try to finalize. Are you here? Finally, let me touch one little topic and we close. People that desire encounters, 2024. And all of these things were not relevant. You saw it in 2024. It was obvious that a lot of foolishness happened. Let me keep my jotter. Yesterday I told leaders, I said, let's be serious with God in 2025. Let's mean business. See, one thing that happened to me was that when I became born again, it was hard for me to become born again. Alright? Because I was in a religious family. So they thought I was a Christian, but I was not a Christian. And I remember, whenever they put fast and the rest, I used to eat food. And when I'm done eating, I will rub sand and clean my mouth and come back home and look like I've fasted. Because to me, I didn't understand why they were doing stressing themselves over all of those things. When I read it, I was really bookworm. When I read it, it doesn't make sense to me. So when they are fasting, I'll be eating my food. Alright? Until suddenly I became born again. Because I was looking for answers. And when God brought a man my way that gave me answers, I decided to become born again. When I became born again, I told myself, if something is not genuine, I'll not do it. If something is not right, I'll not follow it. That is the sole reason why I became trouble to a lot of people. You know, one time I was talking to my wife. There's one of our in-laws that liked me so much. And I said to her, the woman liked me so much, but I'm sad. She said, why? I said, because she believes in things that I condemn very well. I said, hope tomorrow will not become enemies. Let God help us. Because I can't stop teaching this truth. Have you guys get what I'm trying to explain? I can't stop. Yesterday my parents were in the house, so I was trying to teach them. They were telling me that some of the issues they have with village people and the rest, how that they went to, one of the striking issues that pained me was that they did harvest. The people didn't want to help them farm, so they looked for people from town, they went to farm for them, and when they were done farming, they had the biggest harvest of yams. And the people are now saying they should fetch the yam for them. So, she now was warning that they should not fetch the yam. Because they actually didn't even want to help them. She even paid them for farming. They ate the money without doing it. So Anna said, so what did you say? No, I just leave it to her. I just leave it for peace to reign. Anna said to her, I said, what kind of peace are you looking for? So she said she's even sure they've stolen the yam. I said they will steal the yam. She said yes, because one of them have the keys to their house there. So she's sure they will steal, but what will they do? That's how they steal it. I said, you will not want them to stop. Say, those people do charm, blah, 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 blah. I said, charm? Then I told her, I said, this will end with your generation. I said, you see this foolishness I'm seeing? If it reach my turn, if anybody don't do anything, I'll carry police from town, lock them up, and I'll deal with them in a way they will never forget in their life. No, you have to allow them. Village people have charm very well. Blah, 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 blah. Hey, that's how they did charm for the other person. That's how they did. This person died. Blah, blah, blah. This person died. I said, so what are you now saying? Say, we don't want anything that will give us problem with our children. I said, nobody can give us problem. And I said to her, I said, how can you be a Christian and be talking fear? I was so angry. All of a sudden, discussion turned into anger. I said, how can you be a Christian? How can you are talking fear? That somebody, because of, they are doing wickedness, and they know that you are scared of them because of their charm. Then I asked her a question, where in the Bible did Jesus say, I will not touch them because they have charm? Or Jesus enter a city and say, there's charm in this city, oh, disciples, be careful. Or Jesus performed miracle when he was done and casted demons. He went back home and said, disciples, let's pray against the spirit coming to attack us because we have casted demons. They can now be angry and come for us later. You know all these jargons we hear? Somebody said, I casted a demon out. Then 3 years later, he came back to me. He came to my family. He wanted to attack my family. And Christians are seated there with their sense and the Holy Spirit listening. Are you listening to me? If you think these things are important and hold, you will suffer as a Christian. You know why some of you are suffering? You believe rubbish. That's why you are suffering. Why do you think you are addicted for many years? Think about it. It's a wrong mentality you have about God that is causing you to be addicted. It's not that Satan is powerful. He's not powerful. How can you tell me that you are a Christian? You casted a demon out. Then you went back home. You are now saying, God, protect me from the demon I casted. Should in case he's coming for my children. Why? Did you read about yourself in scripture? That you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the Lord, in an innumerable multitude of angels, where the spirit of just men are made perfect, that you have come to Jesus, Jesus told a legion of demons to go out. Thousands of demons, they went out. Did he sleep and was wondering if they would come back for him? No! Where are they getting the teachings? It may be sounding deep, but it's high sounding nonsense. It's not the truth of God's word. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? They make Satan look so powerful so that they'll look so powerful as preachers. Satan is not powerful. That was the problem with the Pharisees. They wanted to look like big guys to the people. Jesus came and scattered their ranks. He made them look like nothing before the people. They wanted to look special before the So in 24, a lot of rubbish happened. A lot of jargons happened. A lot of wrong beliefs happened. And somehow we felt like we're succeeding as Christians, but if we check it deeply, there was nothing like success there. We're just standing on sinking sands. You think you are all spiritual. The moment the devil comes and blows his breeze, you are gone. And that's why I'm emphasizing, stay on the word of God. A time will come and we're entering that season already. We are in it already. The word of God is cast. I know what I'm telling you. People enjoy activities more than true spirituality. Stay with the word of God. Don't be pushing encounters. Don't be pushing vain spirituality and vain religion. Stay with the word of God. Your life will be beautiful if you stay with the word of God. Else Satan will use you and just destroy you. Are you not hearing the number of pastors they catch every day? Sleeping with people and etc. Is it not astonishing? What is their offense? Not staying with the word of God. You can be a pastor and neglect the word of God. Do you know that? Very, very true. Stay with the word. Don't even long for encounters except you have the word of God. I was teaching somewhere and I told them, Listen carefully. Encounters are beautiful. But if you don't have the word of God, if you have encounters, you misunderstand them. The word of God is your light in the supernatural. More like a torch. You use it to navigate your path in the supernatural. Listen carefully. If somebody appears to you tomorrow night, what's the time before I, let me know whether I've gone past time. Alright, let me close now. If somebody appears to you tomorrow night, alright, are you here? And tells you that I'm Jesus. He looks like the Jesus you know. Alright? And he tells you, but I want the blood of your father. I want you to kill your father. You feel the presence and the rest. Then he said, go and kill your father. Take the knife. Like Isaac was supposed to be offered by Abraham. Kill your father. Take the knife. Do you know some people who kill their father? Because that's the picture of Jesus that has been painted to them. And they don't know the word of God. If it's for some of them that have children, they will kill their children. I saw a story literally where a pastor was thanking God that his daughter died. They asked him, why are you thanking God? He said, because God told him that she will die. God told him that she will die. So he's giving God the glory for her death. You see what false knowledge can do to us, right? If God opens your eye, most of the people that have died, his hand is not inside. If he opens your eye, all those things we always do, God has given, God has taken. If God opens your eye, his hand is not inside. That is why you should be spiritual. Don't joke with your life. You see, if you are not spiritual, Satan can do anything to you. There's a teaching I'm planning to teach one time. Probably God will give us the grace to do that. The power of alignment. If you don't stay with the word of God and you are aligned with the Holy Spirit, Satan can do anything to you. He can. And I gave an instance. Let me give it again. Imagine you were playing a worldly song and are vibing with the worldly song. And they were sent. Some demons were sent to come and kill you. Give me an instance of a song. Huh? The last time I used the song, Ozeba, Ozeba. So imagine you were dancing Ozeba, Ozeba. And in your village, a ring charm to come and kill you that night. And when they came, you were dancing with your friend. Ozeba, Ozeba, Ozeba. Or one corner, one corner, one corner. And the demons came. And when they came, maybe they were contemplating if they can prevail. But when they came, they were excited because this one, now they don't even need to enter your house. They need to blow the breeze from outside and you will die. Why? You have created a suitable environment for your death. Do you guys get what I'm trying to explain to you? See, if you have been misbehaving and have not died, your mother is praying for you. That's one thing I always tell people. There's somebody somewhere praying for you. Like New Year, Christmas Eve, now people were in club. New Year Eve, some people still enter club. I'll be drinking. You know the only reason why Trilla did not enter that place and kill all of them? There was somebody inside that is righteous. Righteous not because he's righteous. Righteous because the mother is praying for him. Blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus. Of my son Amos. Blood of Jesus. It's the truth. Some of the accidents, they would have happened. I bet if you have been in a car driving and you just see your driver sleeping. Have you been there before? I was going to Lagos. My driver was sleeping. I was so shocked. The man was gone. This Ibadan expressway to Lagos. He was just sleeping. When I saw him, I said, blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm touching him. I said, sir, you are sleeping. He said, yeah. Oh, sorry. Then after a few minutes again, I said, sir, please don't sleep. I started begging him. I said, please don't sleep. Then I started thinking. I said, this man has been sleeping for 5 minutes because I was sleeping too. When I opened eye, driver was sleeping too. Now, tell me why we did not die in that car. It's just God. There are situations like that. I remember a pastor told me he was coming from Abuja and he started sleeping from Lafia. He said that's the last time he remember he was driving. But when he opened his eye, he was in a fuel station in North Bank. The car was parked and it was off. He was asleep. He just opened his eye. He now opened. I was asking people. They said, no, you just came and parked. So we didn't want to disturb you because we observed that you were doing something. They said, me, I came and parked. They said, yes. He said, oh, yes, I parked. Then he entered the car. It was an angel of the Lord. There are situations like that. Your mother is praying. You see, some of them, it's not because they really have knowledge. That's, I was telling one family. I said, some of you are claiming you want to go and teach your mother new Christian realities. They say, how is your mother praying? Say, she's praying, she'll just be calling the name of God in the gala and shouting. And that's how your mother pray. If you check now, all of you have not died. All of you are succeeding. You now that say you are a new Christian reality. I'm not distorting new Christian reality. How do you pray? You can't even pray 20 minutes stretch. When you just start, oh, I've been born to the price. God's own special. I'm born again. Hey, ooh, shigaya, shigalaros. You are asleep. 20 minutes. Your mom, 4 hours, she's hitting a table, a bed. She's hitting and calling on God. Speaking Igala. No English, so nothing concerned with it. It's God of Elijah, she's just saying. You know why it's working? You know why it's working? Because the Bible says, even if your faith is as little as a word, mustard seed. It can work. That doesn't mean all of her spirituality is right. She may be disadvantaged in some areas. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But for your protection, she will always get it right. Because God will honor her prayer. And you know why she's not listening to you? Because you have no evidence to prove that you're a Christian. In fact, she's pitying you. That's why I say, let's go to that church. Mommy, come and learn new Christian. She will not be praying for you that you have gone astray. God of Elijah, protect my son. With new Christian realities, protect him all. Protect him. New creation, what? That's how she be talking. Because she knows that the God of her forefathers is more stronger than this one you are portraying. But do you know you can prove her wrong? That's why I always tell people the problem of people in the New Testament is that they don't know how to pray. Prayers, zero. They like Jews Christianity. That's why you see somebody who say, I'm a new creation reality. I'm a new creation person. New creation man. New creation. He's begging for money everywhere. It's your mother that is old creation that is giving you money every time. Well, I have the gold am mine. The silver am mine. It's your sister that is not born again that you call. Can I? Auntie, can you help me 5,000 I beg? And she may remind you, new creation. How far? What did they happen with you? Come on. Just sow seed. It's not like you are giving me. You are sowing seed. He that watereth shall be watered. You are begging. New creation, you are begging. With this. In fact, some don't have composure again. They are begging. They are just begging. And they will declare in their prayer. Since I was born, David said, since I was born, now I'm getting, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Nor the righteous beg for bread. Hallelujah. Then he said, what are you begging for? He said, it's not bread at least, it's 2K. You can't be begging. The Bible said, bread, my own is what? 2K. Please read contextually. Alright, so what I'm saying in essence, right, is that every one of you, are we together? Take this to heart. Prove your call. Paul said, give yourself to these things, wholly to it. Pray. Are you listening to me? How did my parents start believing me? They were doubting me so much. A demon entered our house. In the middle of the night, I was praying. I saw it enter through the wall, red shadow with a staff on his hand, and hit my dad on his chest. He started coughing uncontrollably. Wah, wah, wah. That's how I opened the bedroom, rushed to him and laid hands on his head, and said, stop now in the name of Jesus. And I spoke some tongues. He stopped immediately. Imagine I was not a watchman praying. You think I'll be able to see that and stop it? God woke me up to pray. I stood up to pray. How many of you have been there? You just feel like somebody stopped. chunk you up and say, stand up. Because without your prayer, nothing can happen. He needs you to pray so that he can do things for you through your prayer. We don't know how to pray as we ought to, but the Holy Ghost helps us with what? Groanings. Now, words cannot what? Express. You pray. I told one young man, I said, you see this is your happiness, you are posting on status every time. I said, when your brother die, you will not be able to post again. I said, be serious with your faith. Because his mom was sick on the bed. For months now, he has not been praying. He's getting fat. So I fired him. I said, if it's you that's on the sick bed, your mom would have taken you out in 2 weeks. But you, your mom is on the sick bed, stroke. 4 months, 1 year, you are getting big. You want to bust. And I put him on a fast. I said, start fasting and praying. Let your mom stand up. As I always say, she's making progress. I said, I don't want to hear she's making progress. Let her stand up from the sick bed. Hallelujah to Jesus. That's how it should be. Paul even told God one time in prayer, I said, God, if you take this my son from me, my heart will not be okay to preach you. When he finished saying it, then he prayed, the boy came back to life. Hallelujah to Jesus. So be a man that is totally given to the Holy Spirit. I told my parents one time again, my dad lost 500. I just heard the Lord told my your dad, I just called him. I said, sir, good afternoon, sir. I said, hey, how are you? I said, fine, sir. You just lost 500. He said, Jesus Christ, I'm just looking for it now. I didn't know where I kept. I said, yes, that's what the Lord told me. He said, God told you? I said, just like that. Truly, I lost, so. I ended the call. Now he calls me prophet. Because not once, not twice, not... He has seen different proof that God is alive in my life. Are you listening to me? Prove your call. Your mother is praying 4 hours. Make sure your own is 5 hours. All your limitations in the spirit will break. When you march 5, you know, when you stand 5 hours, all those struggles will scatter. It's just like climbing somewhere, climbing. You climb to the highest point. All of them will fall to the ground. Are you listening to me? So be a praying person. Don't just be this new creation people that say they don't pray. We are new creations and we pray. Are you listening? Very important. And the proof of new creation is not all of these Gen Z behaviors. All this Christianity that is all about ice cream and iPhone and burger and etc. The kind of song we sing, the kind of dresses we dress, that's not what new creation means. The Bible says, if a man desires mastery, yet is not crowned, how does he strive? Lawful. The Bible finally says, in a great house are several vessels of clay and of gold. It says, if a man purges himself of the litter, he becomes a vessel profitable for what? The master's use. In other words, you will determine the kind of vessel that you will become. And God will use you according to the availability that you portray to him by your choice of the kind of vessel that you should be. Are we together? Bow your heads and thank God for the word. Give him praise. Give him worship. Bless his name. Father, we give you all the glory. We worship you. Tell him thank you for the word. Lift up our hands, it is the sacrifice to you, and a liberty we worship and we pray. When we lift up our hands, it is an offering to you, and a liberty we worship and we pray. You're the sound. You're the sound. You're the sound. The lifting of my hands. Oh God, you're the sound. You're the sound. You're the sound. The lifting of my hand. You're the sound. You're the sound. You're the sound. The lifting of my hands. Oh God, you're the sound. You're the sound. You're the sound. The lifting of my hands. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' gracious name we pray.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.